This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
About 100 days after Brexit, officials take stock of lingering trade issues on the Irish border. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Top representatives from Britain and the European Union will sit down today to discuss the effect Brexit is having on Northern Ireland. To allow trade to continue as frictionless as possible post-Brexit, an open land border was maintained between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. However, that effectively moved the trading border to the Irish Sea. In the 3 months since the UK left the EU, trade bottlenecks and social unrest has ensued. From Belfast, the BBC's John Campbell previews what to expect from today's talks.
Back in March, there was this huge bust-up between the UK and the EU over the new Irish Sea trade border, which exists between the United Kingdom, the Great Britain part of it, England, Scotland and Wales, and then the Northern Ireland part of it. And basically, the EU and the UK had agreed how they were going to phase in all these new checks and controls on goods coming into Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. But then the UK, they moved unilaterally without EU agreement to say, we're going to have to delay some of these controls. It's a matter of urgency. The EU said, well, that is a clear breach of our agreement, so therefore we're going to have to take legal action against you. So the temperature went way up. I think things have cooled down a little bit in the intervening weeks. The UK has sent a document to the EU laying out what it thinks should be the timetable for fully implementing all these new border processes. What the meeting is about tonight is trying to take a stock of where we are with that. But really, there is a mountain to climb here and we are only in the foothills.
Now, Logistics UK, which represents the freight industry, has said since January, half its members have exports delayed or cancelled due to border changes. How quickly do you think some of these issues realistically can be resolved?
There are two sets of borders to be concerned about here. There's ones going from Great Britain, so mainly England, into the EU mainland. And then there's also those goods coming from Great Britain into Northern Ireland. And the border processes at both those frontiers are similar. In terms of talking to some businesses locally in Northern Ireland, they say first quarter of this year, January and February in particular, was very difficult. But it is clear that even if you're familiar with the processes, it's just costing more. You're having to pay customs agents, if you're a big operator, to help you through this process. And those costs, at the moment, they look like they're permanent. That also raises questions about the sustainability of some of that trade, but the longer-term costs are becoming apparent.
The BBC's John Campbell for us in Belfast. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Checking the numbers now, European benchmarks are trading marginally higher and hitting fresh records today, helping lift shares as a rally in commodities. Aluminum prices hit a 10-year high in Shanghai earlier today. Here in London, they're at their highest level in 3 years. Meanwhile, shares of London-based food delivery giant Deliveroo are down 1.8%. That's despite figures that showed demand doubled in the first quarter. The company, though, said as restaurants reopen here, it expects takeout orders to slow. Booming electronics sales during the pandemic have caused a global shortage of the tiny chips that power everything from refrigerators to cell phones and smart cars. On Monday, President Biden held a virtual meeting with business leaders to discuss ways to make semiconductor supply chains more resilient, particularly in the U.S. Taiwan's TSMC produces more than 90% of the world's most advanced chips, and today the company said it supports America's chip-making efforts, but noted it also has its own plans to expand in Taiwan, as it expects the global chip shortage to remain a problem over the next year. Supply shortages, then, are one problem, but a drought in Taiwan threatens to be another. That's because water is a crucial element in the chip manufacturing process, and it's pitting the island's crucial industry against its farmers, as the BBC's Cindy Su explains from Taipei.
Taiwan's chip making industry is huge. There's one estimate that says it makes up 30% of GDP. So it's considered top priority for the government. Then this industry requires a lot of water. Just to give you an idea, the Hsinchu Science Park, where TSMC is located, uses around 30% of the total amount of water that Hsinchu County and city uses each day. The government is stopping irrigation of the farmland. So that's causing a lot of concerns for farmers.
And so you've been talking to some of the farmers. What are their biggest concerns? How are they dealing with this at the moment?
Mr. Zhang Zhengdeng, he's a fourth generation farmer, and his family own and rent about 7 hectares of land in Hsinchu. And he's just very frustrated that they're basically being made to sacrifice for the semiconductor industry.
You can give us water for 2 days a week, and we would find a way. But now they've completely cut our water. We can't find a path out.
Besides Mr. Zhuang, there are also the young farmers who were actually encouraged by the government in recent years to go into farming because Taiwan's food self-sufficiency rate is only about 30%. It means you're only really growing about 30% of the food that your population consumes. This is actually quite shocking for a lot of people because they've invested so much of their money to buy equipment and to rent land and to hire workers, but now they don't get any water. One of the farmers I spoke to, Ms. Guo Yuling, she wasn't actually upset like Mr. Zhuang was, but her opinion is that this problem with water actually could be prevented, that Taiwan actually does get enough rain. This is what she said.
If you look at Taiwan as a whole, it has sufficient rainfall. The problem is how we use water. The first problem is our pipes leak water. Another problem is how we transfer it from one place to another. I don't know if the government is considering transferring water from the eastern part of the country to the western, because the east enjoys several months of rain each year.
Now, Cindy, TSMC says that so far this drought has not affected its production, partly because they recycle a majority of the water that they use. These droughts are not new. They happen this time every year. So is the government considering taking any action to help alleviate pressure both on the chip-making industry and its farmers long term?
Well, what the government has done is build a seawater desalination plant in Hsinchu and trying to fix a lot of the water pipeline because there's a lot of water leakage. Even when the rivers collect all the water and they go into the pipelines to go into the reservoirs, along the way, a lot of it's leaked out. And the other problem is because of deforestation in Taiwan's mountains, the soil is suffering from erosion. And whenever there's rain, a lot of the soil is washed down the river into the reservoirs. So that creates a buildup of sediment in the reservoirs. So the reservoirs themselves, even though Taiwan has some 95 reservoirs, they actually can't hold as much water as they were built to hold.
So it's basically infrastructure problems that need to be resolved that would help alleviate some of these problems.
Yes, but these take time. And in many ways, the experts say that the government is really coming into this problem a little bit too late.
The BBC's Cindy Sue Forrest in Taipei. Thanks for digging into this for us.
Thank you.
Finally, the British music industry says a third of the top-selling songs here last year came from the rap and hip-hop genres. The numbers show American stars are popular this side of the pond, but British artists like Stormzy are gaining market share. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.